It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's up, everybody? Reaction time here. Monday. I guess it's Sunday night, technically. Probably hearing this Monday. Maybe you're hearing a Sunday night. 8 o'clock. The early and afternoon games in the books for week number 12. And I did not do well in week 12. Let's just put it that way. Adam Pfeiffer here. Welcome back, everybody, to the Fade the Chalk podcast. This is the Sunday solo recap edition where we break down everything that happened throughout the week and talk about what sticks, what's important, what's not. Injuries, snaps, anything that we have at our disposal here, we will talk about it. And like I said, like, this is probably my worst week of the season. You know, season long, DFS, whatever. It just wasn't great for me. We'll talk about some players that had a lot to do with that, and if there's some cause for concern. It was not a great week for me, though. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, I had Chris Meany on last week. That was fun. Riding solo again here for week 12. Let's get right to it. Buffalo Bills 27, Los Angeles Chargers 17. Ugly game, especially in the second half. Josh Allen did not play particularly well. Lost a fumble and had an ugly interception this game. Of course, was still pretty good, around 17 points. Touchdown through the air, only 157 passing yards. You know, they threw the ball 24 times, which is a lot lower than they usually do. A lot of people are going to continue to point to this being what we might see from Josh Allen going forward without John Brown. It definitely hurts his offense. John Brown on IR now for 3 weeks. I'm not going to sit here and say it's good or anything like that. It's bad. It's really bad. John Brown stretches the field and helps out guys like Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs. You're going to have some decisions to make with Josh Allen. I mean, he's been a must-start quarterback all year, but losing John Brown and coming up, he has a schedule. I mean, he's at San Francisco in wherever the hell they're going to play, in week 13. Then he's against Pittsburgh. Then he's got New England and Denver. So a really less-than-ideal schedule going forward. This was a great matchup, but both teams just kind of didn't play particularly well. It was a bust from Buffalo's entire offense, really, except for Gabriel Davis, who catches a touchdown pass from Cole Beasley on a trick play. Davis is definitely worth an add in deeper leagues off waivers if you need a receiver. He's an every down player for this Bills team with John Brown out. Talented player. Had 4 targets today. Stephon Diggs, 9 targets, but only has 7 for 39. They just didn't really get anything going down the field with him. And Singletary and Moss both ran well in this game. Singletary had 82 yards on 11 carries. Moss had 59 yards on 9 carries. Moss did get the very few short yardage carries that the Bills got from inside the 10. They're both low-end flex plays, obviously, going forward. Not much has changed from Buffalo. For the Chargers, though, Austin Eckler. A lot of questions about him. Like, should I start him? Will he be limited? First of all, like, unless you're low to that running back, which at this point of the season you probably weren't. I don't know why you're even considering benching Austin Eckler. Did he run well? No, 14 carries for 44 yards, but he makes up for it with 11 catches of 85 yards, 16 targets for Austin Eckler, who, whenever he's been on the field with Justin Herbert, has been like a 10-target-per-game guy. So, yeah, people were worried about him being limited, and then Ian Rappaport tweeted that he wouldn't be the bell cow, and I just rolled my eyes at that, because how many times have we seen Ian Rappaport report something about a running back's usage, and it just completely doesn't happen? So, especially with Kalen Ballage rolled out, and especially with Justin Jackson on IR, and how little confidence they've had in Joshua Kelly and Tremaine Pope, I didn't think Eckler would be limited at all, and he ends up with 25 touches, which is a career high for Austin Eckler in his first game back. 30% target share. He handled 25 of the 34 backfield touches. No setback from injury. Clear cut, rock solid top 7 running back for the remainder of the season. Keenan Allen, 10 targets. He scores again. He's good. Hunter Henry, 10 targets, 7 for 67, which is, when he doesn't score, he usually gets you 4 for 30, so you'll take the 7 for 67 from Hunter Henry. This was Herbert's worst game, though. The Bills' defense is coming around a little bit. They're kind of more that in that bend but don't break mode, but their pass rush has been a little bit better with Jerry Hughes. When they're not asking A.J. Klein to drop back into coverage, he's played pretty well against the run. Tremaine Edmonds is playing better, and I mean, they're going to get healthier. I mean, they already have the great safety duo. Trey White's starting to play better. He had another interception today, and they're going to get Matt Milano back. So the Bills' defense is definitely turning a corner a bit these last couple weeks. They did a good job against Kyler Murray before their bye. Justin Herbert had his worst game as a professional here. So this is definitely something to keep an eye on with Buffalo's defense for sure. If you're wondering about the Buffalo Bills running back snap counts, because that seems to be kind of a trend we look at every single week mostly. Moss, once again, out-snapped Singletary. I think that's four of the last five games he's now out-snapped him. 37 snaps for Zach Moss, 25 for Devin Singletary. By the way, Austin Ekeler, 60 of the 83 running back, or 83 offensive snaps. So yeah, like I said, no limitations at all for Austin Ekeler. Let's move on to Arizona 17, the Patriots 20. They went on a last-second field goal. We talked about this game on the DFS podcast. I didn't have any interest in this game because I didn't know what to make of it, right? In New England, I didn't think the Patriots were going to get blown out or anything like that. Like, I've talked about it a ton. They're like a really good, bad team. So I didn't see the Cardinals coming in and beating them down and forcing Cam Newton to throw the ball 40 times. What happens? Cam Newton goes back to 18 pass attempts, 84 passing yards, two picks, 46 rushing yards, but no touchdowns. Like, I don't know how you can start Cam Newton right now. If he doesn't get a rushing touchdown, he's going to get you like 10 points. It's bad. They're the lowest volume passing offense in the NFL. Their defense is still playing well enough, especially now that they're getting a little bit healthier, that they're perfectly content running the football. This team's just gross, man. James White had two touchdowns today. The concern I had was, would Sony Michel be involved at all if he was active? And Sony Michel did return, but he played one offensive snap in this game. And it came when he was blocking. So he didn't get a touch, played one snap. Damien Harris played 34. James White played 20. Got a couple goal line short yardage touchdowns. So James White, with Burkhead out for the year, you can trust him more as a flex right now going forward. But I still worry about the overall pass. I mean, James White still only had one catch for minus 1 yard in this game. So are you banking on two short yardage touchdowns from James White? If you could... I still wouldn't feel overly confident starting James White after this performance. Let's just put it that way. The Cardinals offense was a complete bust. Kyler Murray was bad in this game. 170 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. And he only runs for 31 yards. This is easily his worst game of the season. Kenny and Drake, both teams clearly wanted to run the football here. Kenny and Drake has 22 carries for 78 yards and two touchdowns. He had a ton of short yardage carries in this game. Which was interesting that he scored twice. I mean, usually we're seeing Kyler Murray take those touches, but that's the thing about Kenyon Drake. Like, his pass catching usage has been inconsistent all year, mostly down. But he's always been, unless it's been Kyler Murray taking the touchdowns, the goal line back in this offense. Let's see. So Kenyon Drake, inside the five carries in this game. I'm counting them together with you, so hang tight. 1, 2 on the opening drive touchdown. This is inside the five carries for Drake in this game. So he had 2. Then he had... let's see. 3. Then he had... this is riveting, by the way. And I get video playing. This is riveting. So 3 for Kenyon Drake in the first half alone. And then he finishes with, I think, 4. So 4 carries inside the 5 yard. Make that four carries inside the 5 for Kenyon Drake. If they're gonna give him he's been frustrating for most of the year, but if he can get 20 carries each week and a chance to score, he's by default at least an RB2 given how bad the position is this season. We had Larry Fitzgerald out with COVID, so Andy Isabella ends up playing a lot more snaps. He played 41. He was the wide receiver in 3 wide sets. So Isabella scored in this game. No, he didn't score. He almost scored. He had a touchdown called back. actually. But yeah, he got the playing time out. Fitzgerald, we'll see if he's back next week. But, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Isabella is obviously a talented player, a ton of speed, and an offense that's going to score plenty of points. Definitely somebody to keep an eye on. Definitely. It's kind of it from this game. I mean, better days are ahead for Kyler. Better days are ahead for DeAndre Hopkins, for sure. So, yeah, let's move on to the Jets and Dolphins. Miami wins this one 20-3. Not much here, right? I mean, Myles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed were out in this game, so Matt Breida got the start. Didn't do much. 10 touches for about 50 yards for him. DeAndre Washington has 13 carries and 15 touches, so it looks like he would be the preferred guy if Ahmed and Gaskin were to miss again in week 13. Devontae Parker was like one of the few things I actually got right on the slate, and it was hard for him not to produce against this terrible Jet secondary. So Parker, 8 for 119 on 14 targets. He's averaging double-digit targets in the three games that Preston Williams has been out. His end zone targets have been top five in the league since that three-game span. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he's a lot better to have as a quarterback for fantasy because he throws into tight windows as much as any quarterback in the NFL. And the Dolphins were a lot more conservative with Tua under center. So Tua wasn't straight up benched. He had the injury. So if he's healthy, I would imagine he probably starts next week. And that would bump Parker down to like a high end three. But if any time Ryan Fitzpatrick is under center, Devontae Parker jumps to that wide receiver two range for me. Mike Gesicki comes back to life with a touchdown on five targets. Of course, Adam Shaheen also scores. You know, I still don't want to trust Mike Gesicki really at all. For the Jets, with Michael Pirine on IR, Frank Gore ends up touching the ball 21 times. You know, you'll take that if you had to start Frank Gore with 21 touches for, you know, nearly 90 total yards. He didn't score, and he's not going to have many scoring opportunities, but it's difficult to find receivers with, you know, 20 touches in their range of outcomes each week. And then I was expecting better things from Jameson Crowder with Darnold back under center because prior to this game, he's averaging around 11.5 targets per game with Darnold compared to 7 per game with Flacco. He only gets 5 looks in this game, catches 3 of them for 31 yards. Mims and Perriman continue to make plays each week, though, and they both had 8 targets. Mims had 4 for 67. Perriman had 4 for 79. It's ugly, but every single week now, they're making plays. So if you're in a deeper league, like, they wouldn't be the worst options. We know the Jets are probably going to be behind more weeks than not. Other than that, though, like, we'll see if Ahmed or Gaskin are back. I imagine one of them is back next week. Then it might be a mess if both of them are back for sure. So it's so much to the point where you might only be interested in starting Devontae Parker from the Dolphins going forward. Giants 19, Bengals 17. Wayne Gallman with a nice day here. 24 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown. He also adds 3 catches through the air. Didn't get any yardage positively, but 27 touches for Gallman. Wayne Gallman, they're just force-feeding him the ball inside the goal line now. The beginning of the game, it was 4 straight plays from like inside the 5-yard line. Well, it was 3 straight. He didn't convert any of them, and it was 4th and goal from the 1, and they gave it back to him again for the score that he finally did convert. I mean, you look at that it was the opening drive of the game. At play log, you're like, okay, well, after the second time, there's no way he gets it again. But sure enough, Wayne Gallman up the middle, 2 yards. Wayne Gallman left side for 1 yard. Wayne Gallman right guard for no gain. And then went, so 4 inside the 5 touches, touches on the opening drive of the game. Gallman now, he just keeps scoring. At this point, like, even if Devonta Freeman does come back, Gallman's done more than enough to warrant that he should continue to be the guy. You look at his, so we won't have it updated yet for today, but since week 8, Wayne Gallman has 5 carries from inside the 5-yard line. I think he had 5 today, so it'd be 10. That put him inside the top 4 in the NFL during that span, behind, I think, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, and Dalvin Cook. So he's getting as much touchdown equity as any running back really in the league right now. And at the end of the day, that one touchdown can be huge. It doesn't really matter if he has great yardage. And the Giants are quietly a competitive team. Their defense is playing pretty well. They're in first place in the NFC East. We'll have to see about Daniel Jones, though. Jones suffered an injury in this game. It was a hamstring, I believe they called it. He came back in for a play, then had to leave. This is something to keep an eye on. He was seen on the sideline with his helmet on, just kind of waiting to go back in, but it never happened. We'll have to see about this, because the only appealing thing about Daniel Jones as a fantasy starter was his rushing. He had like six games with over 40 rushing yards this year. And if that hamstring injury hurts him, you know, literally, going forward and it impacts his rushing, that's brutal. Colt McCoy would be the backup, and you would have to slightly downgrade, the pass catchers. Evan Engram had an awesome game here. Caught six of nine targets for 129 yards. Had a 53-yard gain on the opening play or the opening drive of the game. I mean, by default, he's kind of like an every week top seven tight end, but his ceiling would definitely be lowered if Colt McCoy was the quarterback for the Giants. Sterling Shepard, just every week he gets eight targets, he gets six or seven catches, and he gets 50 to 60 yards. That's what he did in this one: seven catches, 64 yards. He's such a high floor wide receiver three in fantasy. The ceiling really isn't massive, but yeah, Slayton, goose egg. That didn't do a lot of wonders for people. Not much from the Bengals. T. Higgins scores relatively late in this game, which helps. But, I mean, we knew this offense was going to struggle. Giovanni Bernard was bad on 10 touches. Brandon Allen was obviously bad. Tyler Boyd, three catches for 15 yards. A.J. Green with another goose egg. It's just like fourth goose egg of the year. Like, you probably don't feel great starting Bengals right now. And he won't, because they're not gonna have Joe Burrow for the rest of the year. So it's just kind of the way it is right now. Tennessee 45, the Colts 26. Statement game from the Tennessee Titans here as they improved to 8-3. Derrick Henry broke the slate. If you didn't have Derrick Henry, you were closing your laptop early, and I did not have enough Derrick Henry, clearly, as my day wasn't very good. 27 carries, 178 yards, and three touchdowns for Henry. He took advantage of some of the injuries in that Colts front seven. They were missing DeForest Buckner, among others, but just a massive game from him. And, I mean, if you're in the playoffs and you're already clinched and you're ready to go and you have Derrick Henry on your roster, I mean, you got to be feeling really good right now, because, you know, he's coming off a huge game. He's been pretty much awesome all year like he normally is. And then you have the fact that for the fantasy playoffs, I mean, Derrick Henry is going to get to face Jacksonville, Detroit, and Green Bay. He's got Cleveland in week 13, but then Jacksonville, Detroit, and Green Bay, all teams that are bottom six in fantasy points allowed to running backs, especially Detroit, who give up all the touchdowns to running backs. So Derrick Henry is probably going to win somebody, not somebody, but multiple people, a fantasy championship this season. A.J. Brown, I missed on this one. I thought with Corey Davis being there and six, seven targets of a ceiling for Brown, and he had six targets in this game, and the Colts, who were top five in yards after catch allowed, and by top five, I mean they were allowing, you know, bottom five numbers to that in that category, and they were they missed the fewest tackles in the NFL. I was thinking to myself, not really a good spot for A.J. Brown. So in my Prize Picks article, I'll take the L. I wrote up the under for A.J. Brown, and he made me look stupid right away. 69-yard touchdown. He also had a onside kick recovery touchdown. Depending on your league, it counted for him or didn't. So that was interesting. But he's really good at football. Corey Davis, though, is continuing to have a nice breakout season quietly. I mean, he only had three catches, but 70 yards. He kind of continues to make something with every catch he gets. So, yeah. Derrick Henry's really good. For the Colts, Jonathan Taylor was out for this game with high close contact tracing for COVID-19. Naheem Hines, 10 carries, 29 yards. Jordan Wilkins, 6 carries for 22 yards. Both did some work in the passing game. Hines had 8 catches for 66 yards on 10 targets. Wilkins had 3 catches for 35 yards on 4 targets. I know Wilkins left this game with a minor injury for a little bit, and then he did end up coming back. The total snap count for these guys was Hines played 48 snaps, Wilkins played 26. Really frustrating that we didn't have Taylor, because they finally gave him the workload again against the Packers last week. He had 22 carries, and then we were all excited to see if that would continue and his momentum would continue going into this game, and then he gets ruled out. So we'll have to wait and see one more week again how this backfield shapes out with everybody healthy. But these guys clearly didn't do anything to separate themselves, so I would expect Taylor to start again in Week 13 and get the first crack at the hot hand. T.Y. Hilton scores his first touchdown of the season. That's probably his first touchdown in like 2 years. Four catches, 81 yards, and a score. Still not overly confident about him. And like Michael Pittman, 9 targets, but 2 catches for 28 yards. A handful of them were not catchable. Michael Pittman's an awesome player, and he had 9 targets in this game, but they also threw 42 times. And it's still an offense that targets multiple people. Hilton, Hines, Burton, Wilkins, Pittman, Pascal, Mo Alie-Cox, DeMichael Harris, and Doyle. So it's 8 players at least one target. 11 players had at least one target last week. It's somebody that you definitely want on your bench in Michael Pittman, but you're not going to feel like incredible starting him each week because when the Colts have 30 pass attempts, he might max out at 4 targets. So they use a lot of guys for sure. I knew one of these tight ends was going to produce. I mean, the Titans have been really bad against tight ends for a handful of weeks now, and Burton got them early. 3 catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown. That all came in the first quarter. Then he didn't really do anything. But you can definitely use tight ends against the Titans. They got Austin Hooper up next. So if anybody is looking for a potential streamer, Austin Hooper might be available to stream in this game. Speaking of Austin Hooper, his Browns win 27-25 over Jacksonville. Hooper scores in this game, only had 2 targets, as the run game continues to do all the work for the Browns. Nick Chubb was one of my core plays of the week, and he smashed 19 carries for 144 yards and a touchdown. He's been back 3 games, and all Nick Chubb's done is rush for 100 yards in all 3 games. He has 2 rushing touchdowns during that span, and he was back to being more of the goal line back after he didn't have any contact lens issues or cleat issues. Kareem Hunt was productive again on his touches, 10 carries for 62 yards. But he didn't score and was not a factor in the passing game. He had no receptions. Jarvis Landry played phenomenal in this game. He made tough catches. He got open. He made plays after the catch. 8 catches for 143 yards and a touchdown. He had 11 of Baker's 29 pass attempts go his way. Just an awesome game. By the way, Nick Chubb had 3 catches for 32 yards as well, so that was very encouraging. Look, I mean, we know Landry's going to see anywhere between a 20 to 30% target share each week. This was definitely encouraging. You definitely like to see it. So probably a solid wide receiver 3 with Kadarius Hodge and Rashard Higgins not really doing much in place of Odell Beckham. This is kind of Landry's passing game right now. It's just, Baker Mayfield threw the ball 29 times in this game, which is like a lot for him. He hasn't thrown 30 pass attempts in a game since week 4. So the ceiling is definitely capped, but he made plays in this game on the opportunities he got for sure. Another day, another awesome game from James Robinson. He's incredible. I mean, everybody's talking about Justin Herbert, who should probably win it. And Justin Jefferson. But like James Robinson, I know the Jaguars are 1-10, but he's got to get some consideration for Offensive Rookie of the Year, right? 22 carries, 128 yards and a touchdown, 5 catches for 31 yards in the passing game. So he was more involved in the passing game with Mike Glennon at quarterback than he was with Jake Luton. And he's dominating all the workload. Again, this is another game where James Robinson handled every running back carry for Jacksonville. I think it's like 3 or 4 games in a row where he's seen 100% of the team's carries. So he's a lock for 20 touches every single week. It doesn't matter that Jacksonville's been bad. And the thing with Jacksonville is, yes, they're 1-10. Their games have not been blowouts, really. They've been like 10-point deficits and close enough games to where James Robinson will not get phased out. And plus, he's still involved enough in the passing game. 11, almost 1,200 yards from scrimmage for him. He is on pace for the most yards from scrimmage by a UDFA rookie in the Super Bowl era, according to RotoWorld. That's absurd. If he stays healthy, he's gonna beat Philip Lindsay's record. I mean, he's a legitimate 3-down back. He's as safe as it gets. You look at his game log here. I mean, James Robinson has had 27, 19, 28, 27, 28 touches. That's his last 5 games. It's just, if he scores, he's going to break the slate, potentially. Like, because he's getting that much opportunity. So he's awesome. He's been so fun. Such a fun story. You need to start him every single week, obviously, as you have been, hopefully. The passing game, we had no DJ Chark and no Chris Conley. So Colin Johnson, another rookie, he has his breakout game. 4 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown on a team-high 8 targets. Maybe Dynasty Leagues take a look at him, but you know, if Chark and Conley are back, he's going to go back to being like the wide receiver 5 or 4 on this team behind Chark, Conley, LaVisca, Keel, and Cole. And it's still a team that wants to put the ball in James Robinson's gut 20 times a game. So that will do it for that game. This game was crazy. Minnesota 28, Carolina 27. Kirk Cousins, another 3-touchdown game, 307 yards, 3 scores. 2 of them go to Justin Jefferson, who had 13 targets. The other one goes to Chad Beebe. Dalvin Cook, definitely his worst game in a while. He left this game with an injury. It didn't look good at first. Was down for a while. Went to the medical tent and then came out jogging down the sideline. Was ruled an ankle injury, probable to return, and he did return. So crisis averted there. Justin Jefferson's awesome. With Adam Thielen out, he should have been viewed as like a top 12 play at the least, and he produced. I mean, he had 13 targets, scored twice. Now, assuming Thielen's back next week, Jefferson will go back to being like a low end 2, high end 3 in fantasy. But he's been fantastic this year. 6 touchdowns, 918 receiving yards, and like I talk about every single time I'm on this podcast, in games where Minnesota has to throw, Thielen and Jefferson are both going to be guys that need to be in your lineups. And they probably need to be in your lineups anyway, but they'll definitely, their stat lines at the end of the day will warrant that for sure when this team has to throw the ball more. Four players in this game for the Vikings had 7 catches. BC Johnson, Justin Jefferson, Kyle Rudolph, and Chad Beebe. By the way, Devontae Adams just scored 833 and he already scored. He's unbelievable. He's unreal. We'll see if Thielen's back. I don't think he has coronavirus. I think he's been just, he's on the reserve list. So if that's the case, I would imagine he's back for week 14 or 13. And you'd not be worried about BC Johnson or Chad Beebe. Carolina, Robbie Anderson scores his first touchdown since week 1 on a 41-yard weird play. It was like a quick slant or drag, and the Vikings played. They dropped their D lineman back into coverage, and nobody could catch Robbie Anderson. But we got to talk about DJ Moore. If you have DJ Moore on your fantasy team, today was really annoying, and I'm raising my hand. So he was wide open for a 40-yard touchdown where Bridgewater missed him terribly. He also had an almost touchdown where it was a good defensive play by the cornerback, but he almost had another touchdown. And then at the end of the game, he runs a quick slant in the middle of the back of the end zone, wide open. Bridgewater underthrows him terribly, and DJ Moore lands awkwardly trying to twist himself backwards to make the catch, non-contact injury, and gets carried off the field. Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not blaming Teddy Bridgewater. It's a freak injury, but the fact that it happened like that when it should have been just an easy touchdown for DJ Moore and the Panthers, win the game and then they go into the locker room or whatever and celebrate, and instead they lose because they kick a field goal after, and then DJ Moore is potentially hurt badly. The Panthers have a week 13 bye, so we're crossing our fingers, but if it's bad, Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson are going to be... Like, Samuel will pretty much just take DJ Moore's position as a must-start receiver. Because Robbie Anderson was already borderline a must-start guy. And then Samuel would have to be a must-start guy because he's already been really good. He had 5 catches for 72 yards in this game. Gets a couple carries a week. So if DJ Moore's out of the equation, then Samuel would be a guy you pretty much would start each week. But yeah, it's just super frustrating. Down game for Mike Davis, 18 touches. They mixed in Rodney Smith a little bit more and Trenton Cannon. Like I said, Carolina's on bye this week 13. McCaffrey's expected to be back week 14, so probably the end of the line for Mike Davis. Atlanta 43, Vegas 6. This game was just dumb and stupid and weird. And if we played Brian Hill, we know we should have known what we saw coming. 13 carries, 55 yards, no touchdowns, no work in the passing game. Whenever he's gotten a starter, enhanced opportunity, he's just been bad. Got outplayed by Ito Smith, who had 12 carries for 65 yards and a touchdown, caught four passes. This game was ugly, though. There was fumbles, there was interceptions, penalties. Calvin Ridley, 9 targets in this game, suffered an injury late, but I think he came back in the game. He has 6 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. You know, you're starting him every week. I don't really know what else to say about him, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he returned to the game. Yeah, he missed just one play, so looks like Ridley's fine. Hayden Hurst had 4 for 48 on 8 targets. This offense, like, I know they scored 43 points, but it was more so because Derek Carr fumbled twice, Josh Jacobs fumbled. Like, this Falcons offense still isn't instilling any confidence in you when they're without Julio Jones. It's still been pretty bad for the most part. And speaking of pretty bad, I mean, I wasn't on Josh Jacobs in this game. Talked about it on the DFS podcast that the Falcons run defense, in terms of like a per carry and up and rushing production, they've been pretty good this year. And Jacobs, of course, they fell behind, which hurt, but 7 carries for 27 yards, lost a fumble. Or no, he didn't lose a fumble. It was overturned, but he got hurt late in this game. He grabbed his ankle and crawled to the sideline. In the third quarter, they obviously weren't going to put him back in the game, down by 35 points. We got to keep an eye on this because Devontae Booker was already getting some work anyway, you know? So that's something we have to keep an eye on because Booker would be an immediate RB2 on a team that we've seen Derek Carr 25 or fewer pass attempts in a lot of games this season. So we'll have to follow that news with Josh Jacobs. Darren Waller, major bust, as the entire Raiders offense was in this game. Waller had 4 for 23 on 7 targets, still dominating the targets for the most part, but it was just a complete failure from the Raiders in this game. And there's just no other way to put it. I mean, this game pretty much ruined their playoff chances, and they got blown out by 40 points almost to the Atlanta Falcons. It's just, that's terrible. It's really, really, really bad. Before we get to these 4 o'clock games, gotta remind everybody that this episode of Fade the Chalk is brought to you by Manscaped. We are getting into the holiday season, man. I just put my Christmas tree up in the basement. It looks good down there. It's feeling great. Loving this time of year. We gotta talk about tree trimming and keeping your jingle bells nice and fresh for the holiday season. That's why, like I said, support for Fade the Chalk is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest trimmer for your downstairs ever created, and they just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. The battery, dude, lasts you up to 90 minutes, so you can take your time, do what you gotta do, make sure you're looking fresh, you're looking good, you're ready to go, and there's a waterproof new technology that allows you to even clean up in the shower. So this is what you gotta do. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FTN at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code FTN. To the 4 o'clock games. Saints 31, Broncos 3. All right. For the Niners, I guess we can talk about this. So what were the Broncos supposed to do? They didn't have a quarterback in this game. Their offense was terrible. One player had a catch in this game. It was Noah Fant for 13 yards. Kendall Hinton came in. It was like a game from the 1940s. And Taysom Hill, after the game, said that their entire offensive plan changed when this Broncos news broke. Speaking of Taysom Hill, he only threw the ball 16 times, 78 yards. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. We got to talk about Alvin Kamara. So Kamara has 11 carries for 54 yards, no touchdowns, 1 catch for minus 2 yards. I'm concerned. I'm not freaking out, and here's why. What is the point of freaking out on Alvin Kamara? Because your trade deadline in your league is passed, so you can't trade him for anything. You're not dropping him, obviously, and you're not sitting him. So what you should do if you have Alvin Kamara, and I have him in multiple leagues, so this is what I'm doing. I'm tempering expectations going into each week, and I'm hoping for the best. And I'm also hoping that this was another situation where limited with the foot again coming in, the game was never in jeopardy for the Saints, and they rode Latavius Murray for 19 carries, and Kamara didn't play much in the third and fourth quarter. You know, Latavius had 19 carries, and they were just saying, we're just going to run the football because there's no, we have no, like, neither of these teams had any incentive to pass the football. So, am I a little concerned about Kamara? Yes. Am I panicking? Not really, because there's no point. And, we still have yet to see the Saints really challenge, right? The Falcons game, there was never a doubt. This game, there was definitely never a doubt. So, they're not asking Kamara to run a ton of routes. The concern I have is still the fact that Taysom Hill scored two touchdowns from in close in this game, which is really hurting Alvin Kamara. Am I pegging him down to like RB2 status? I don't think I'm going that far, but you can't view him as like the surefire top three running back going forward. You just can't, because this is already a guy. It's not like he's losing passing down work, but was already getting 20 carries. He's losing passing down work, and he was getting 13 carries a game. So that's painful. I mean, Sean Payton has to get him involved in the passing game, right? Like, I think he is the best pass catching running back in the NFL. You know, it's him, McCaffrey, and probably Austin Eckler. Like, those are the three guys. I want to see a game if the Saints are trailing. Because in the playoffs, like, say Breeze can't come back or something, like, you can't win in the playoffs with Taysom Hill throwing the ball 16 times. And you're not going to win with him throwing the ball, you know, 35 times and not using Kamara in that passing game. So, I don't know, man. It's frustrating for sure, because he was just a set it and forget it, 20 points every single week before Breeze went down. Like, the best possible situation for Kamara would be if Taysom started to play really poorly, got benched, and Jameis came in. They are drawing up design runs for Taysom inside the five, and they're not running those play design, those angle routes for Alvin Kamara right now. So, I'm annoyed, I'm frustrated, but like I said, I don't think there's really any point to just freaking out, because we're past the trade deadline. You're not benching him because there's still too much upside with him, and running back sucks. And you're not dropping him. So it's frustrating, but you just kind of got to play it by ear and deal with it. Temper expectations going forward, but hopefully Breeze can get back. Like I said, it'll be really interesting to see when they get in the game, when they got to throw more, and it's competitive, and they need Kamara for a big play. Last 2 weeks, they haven't really needed him. You know? So the snaps in this game, I want to take a look, by the way. Latavius Murray, they clearly just said, you know, we're not threatened in this game by the Broncos offense, so we'll be fine doing whatever. And they clearly, you know, they weren't going to be. But Kamara did play 31 snaps to Murray's 30. But yeah, like, he didn't play much in the second half. So Latavius, by the way, if they're going to continue to run the ball like this, he's more than a flex. Like, he's probably a low end two if they're going to keep running the ball like this. It's so annoying, man. It's so annoying. For the Broncos, you know, we didn't expect anything. But Phillip Lindsay did suffer a knee injury in this game. Didn't finish. So, the Broncos should have a quarterback next week, so that'll be cool. So Melvin Gordon should go back to being like a 20-touch guy. Would put him in the RB2 range if Phillip Lindsay can't get back in action. San Francisco 23, the Rams 20. This game was pretty gross. I mean, Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson were back, and they both kind of split work. Mostert had 16 carries for 43 yards and a touchdown. Jeff Wilson had 12 carries for 43 yards and no touchdown. Not a ton from this game. I mean, I think Mostert, the guy missed a lot of time. He's been injured multiple times this season. So the snaps weren't, like, through the roof or anything. He played 29 snaps. Jeff Wilson played 25. Jerick McKinnon played 18. So, like, Tevin Coleman's going to be back soon. So I would imagine Mostert starts to separate himself once he gets a little healthier. Maybe as soon as next week. But maybe it won't be as much of a lock going forward. And Deebo Samuel, in his first game back, continues to remind people that he's really good. 11 catches, 133 yards on team-high 13 targets. He's such a good player, man. He's so important to their offense in general, but especially with George Kittle out. So, yeah, you feel pretty good about George Kittle going forward. He's healthy, didn't suffer a setback. He's getting such high percentage targets because they're those little shovel passes and quick catches, and it's just it's good to see Deebo Samuel back and healthy for sure. Cam Akers continues each week to do more things, man. He had a 61-yard run in this game, scored a short yardage touchdown, 9 carries for 84 yards, and that score. Malcolm Brown only had 3 carries. Darrell Henderson did nothing, 10 carries for 19 yards. Akers still only played 17 snaps, but it was a lot closer than it had been because Henderson only played 20 and Malcolm Brown only played 25, and he's really still only being used as the pass-protecting running back here. Jared Goff was terrible. Robert Woods still salvaged a bad day from the passing offense with 7 catches for 80 yards on 12 targets because he's hashtag good at football and hashtag really consistent and hashtag the man. Dud from Cooper Kupp, dud from the tight ends, just a gross game. Robert Woods is a solid receiver too every week, and so is Cooper Kupp. Just Jared Goff was really bad in this game. Last game, Kansas City 27, Tampa Bay 24. Tyreek Hill had a 200 yards in the first quarter. 200 yards in the first quarter and 2 touchdowns, I believe. Finished with 13 catches for 269 yards and 3 touchdowns. It was one of the 7, I think, best fantasy games from a wide receiver in NFL history. So there's that. Mahomes had 462 yards and 3 scores. I mean, Tyreek just continued to get behind the defense in this one. It was ridiculous what he did. He's been a touchdown every single game, pretty much. I know we talk a lot about Devontae Adams and Hopkins, but, I mean, Tyreek Hill's got to be the wide receiver, too, behind Adams right now, if we're just ranking, right? I guess you could make the case he's the wide receiver one, because, like Adams, he's been scoring every week as well. But he's just been so ridiculous, and this offense is so ridiculous. Like, 7 catches for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns in a quarter is absurd. It's just absurd. 13 receiving touchdowns on the year. Leads the NFL. He's awesome. Kelsey's awesome. 8 for 82. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. For Tampa Bay, it's still a game after Antonio Brown sees, 13 targets. He gets 3 targets in this game. Mike Evans scores twice, as he continues to do. 3 catches for 50 yards and 2 scores on 9 targets. Godwin had 9 targets, 8 for 97. And Gronk with 100 yards on 6 catches and 7 targets. This offense in the passing game is still, not clicking on all cylinders yet. It's still a lot of inconsistency. Ronald Jones played pretty well in this game, but got scripted out of it early. He played 21 snaps to Fournette's 33. But Ronald Jones, I thought, looked pretty good in this game. 9 carries for 66 yards for Jones. Had a 37-yard touchdown catch. So, if I'm ranking them each week, Ronald Jones is still going to be ahead. But with Tampa Bay kind of slipping a little bit here, if they're behind, that's going to hurt Ronald Jones. It's been every game they've been behind where Fournette starts to out-snap him. He's still a highly volatile running back too, low-end running back too, but he's in that range still. Just because when the games are competitive, he seems to be the first guy they go to, and there's a chance he fumbles each week and Arians pulls him, but there's also a chance that he, a couple weeks ago, he fumbles early and they go back to him. So he's clearly more talented than Leonard Fournette, but both have had trouble with consistency this year, especially in the passing game. Brady's number looked good, but I still thought he didn't look very comfortable, especially early on in this game. Just didn't look great. He's sailing a lot of throws and interceptions. One of the touchdowns to Evans was nice, though. I think these receivers from Tampa Bay, Godwin and Evans are mid-range wide receiver twos. You rank them as each week. AB is a wide receiver three. But know that it could be a Godwin game or an Evans game any week. But like I said, they're using him in the slot more. I talked about this for weeks now, and that's been huge. If they weren't using Evans in the slot once they acquired Antonio Brown, I think he would be struggling. So the fact that they're moving him around more is awesome for Mike Evans, and it's great to see. But yeah, I think that'll do it for all the games. Obviously, had a couple games on Thanksgiving, and then the potential Tuesday night game between the Ravens and Steelers. We'll see. And then, of course, we have Eagles and Seahawks on Monday Night Football. So hopefully your week 12 was better than mine. It wasn't great. A lot of players I missed on, a lot of players that I didn't, I didn't love that hit. And season long, just a lot of duds. I mean, Kamara especially was one of the big reasons why. Like, I clearly, my tone, you could tell by my tone of voice, I'm not really overly confident in Kamara going forward with Taysom Hill, but there's no point of panicking. There's no point of panicking because you can't do anything about it. So hopefully the rest of Week 12 goes well for you with these last couple games, and we're already in the home stretch here. Playoffs and fantasy start in a week. Make sure you guys are checking out the podcast on iTunes, rating and review. We're giving away that Will Fuller signed helmet once we get to 200 reviews. We're around like 130 or 140 the last time I checked. And for anybody that's excited about basketball, Joe Metz and I brought back the FTN Fantasy NBA podcast last week. Did a couple episodes. Season starts December 22nd. Check out all the content at FTNDaily.com. We're going to have a ton of stuff. It's going to be fun. And also check out the podcast. But yeah, as always, thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. Best of luck going forward. We'll see you guys on Monday for waivers with D-Bro and myself. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.